The scripture reading before Mike's lesson will be taken from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. And it reads, "Let brotherly love continue."
I remember as a child growing up in the Lord's church, we would sing that song, Angry Words. And the chorus always gave me great encouragement, yet it was always emotional, because that's what we're supposed to be doing, loving one another. Thus saith the Savior. And the more I thought about that song as we were singing it, the more I realized how that's what sets us apart from the world. The love we have one for another. Remember on one occasion where Jesus said that the world may know that you are my disciples by the love you have one for another. As I was thinking about this week's lesson, and we have been talking about the beauty of getting ready for the new year that's about us, today I want us to talk about the beauty of brotherly love. I watch a lot of sports. I love talk radio when it comes to sports and looking at Skip and Shannon and things like that on television. And one of the things that I always hear is about the locker room. Does the coach have a handle on the locker room? When a coach loses the locker room, the coach is no longer needed. It's something about cohesion. It's something about being one together. And when we consider great teams are usually great because of the locker room. They don't listen to the words, the noise that is outside. They concentrate on one another. And the reason why is because they want to make sure that they are together. They're one. Well, it's the same in business. When you consider a business, those who are in the conference room must be one. Sometimes it takes some words to get there. Sometimes it takes a little ruffling of the feathers. But as long as they come out as one, that's what it's about. Well, it's the same in the home. When the husband and wife are at the dinner table, or they're having small pillow talk, they have to be one. Something about being one. It's something about brotherhood. When we consider a few encouraging words before we get to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 1, I tell you there is so much in that passage. We consider just a few words of encouragement before we get to the text. Brotherhood is beautiful. Brotherhood is beautiful when we properly invest in it, meaning that we get out what we put in. No deposit, no return. When we consider brotherhood, brotherhood must be taught. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 9, Paul talking to the church at Thessalonica, and he said, "You were taught how to be brothers by God." In Romans 12 and verse number 10, brotherhood requires affection and emotion. In 2 Peter 1 and verse number 7, brotherly love must be added to our faith. There's something about being brotherly. There's something beautiful about brotherhood. I'm reminded on one occasion as I was perusing through the scriptures that the Edomites, they forgot the brotherly covenant that God had with them and the children of Israel in Amos 1 and verse number 9. As a matter of fact, God actually condemned them because they had forgotten the brotherly covenant. There's something about brotherhood. When we consider the brotherhood, Peter told the children of God to love the brotherhood, 1 Peter 2:17. Jesus had powerful thoughts concerning brotherhood. I wish I had time to study with y'all Matthew 12:46-50. Remember, on one occasion, there was one that came and said that your mother and brother are outside. They're looking for you. And Jesus stood up and he looked around. He said, "These are my mother, my brother, and my sisters, those who do the will of God." It's interesting that when we consider brotherhood, especially among us, it's those who understand that those who do the will of God, those are our brethren. In Matthew 23, in verse number 8, Jesus would say on another occasion, talking to his disciples, "Don't get caught up in the titles. Don't get caught up in trying to elevate yourself one over another." And the reason he said that, because he says, "You are all brethren." I love that about Jesus, how he equalized the playing field even among his disciples. But before we get to Hebrews 13:1, turn to Psalm 133. In Psalm 133, here we see the psalmist David. And he says something very powerful and worthy of our attention and commitment. He says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren." This particular word, brethren, is metaphorically used in a way that they are coming out of the same womb. They are a band of brethren. There's something that's holding them together. For brethren to remain, to dwell together in unity for a common purpose. Notice the illustration that he gives. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down. Notice the language on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending or running down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing forevermore. Notice how the oil ran down. Notice how the dew ran down. When we consider brotherhood, brotherhood comes down from heaven, comes down from God. And so we consider these great words, this nourishment, this moisture, this dew from above. God wants us to have that type of love one for another. Turn to Hebrews 13. In Hebrews 13, as we talk about the beauty of brotherly love, one verse, as was read in your hearing, and as I was pondering this passage, I found it very interesting that he says, "Let brotherly love continue." I believe the strong word there is continue. I also found it interesting as the Hebrews writer is talking to the children of God here, there was many things going on. I want us to consider some of the persecution that they had to endure. I want us to consider some of those who were leaving Christianity, going back into Judaism. I want us to consider all of the persecution that they had to go through. Yet, here we find the Hebrews writer saying, "Let brotherly love continue." There was some still loving the brotherhood. There was some still loving God. And so in the midst of this great book, as he talks about the superiority of Christ, over Moses, over the angels, over the Levitical priesthood,
And he goes one after another dealing with doctrinal matters. But I find it very interesting here that he tells them to let brotherly love continue. Notice Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 12, there were those who were still being faithful even in the midst of persecution. Even in the midst of those who are leaving the fold, leaving the faith, forsaking the assembly, Hebrews 10, verse 25. Here we see in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through verse number 12, but beloved, we are confident of a better thing concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love. There were some who were still working hard and still exemplifying their labor of love toward Jesus Christ, or toward God the Father, toward the church, which you have shown toward his name in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Don't give up. Hang in there. Keep doing what you're doing. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. I brought those passages out to teach us that there were some who were still doing what was right, and the Hebrews writer was telling them that God hadn't forgot about you. He sees that you're loving one another. But then, notice, in Hebrews chapter 11, in Hebrews chapter 11 through Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 3, we have what is called the Faith Hall of Fame. And here he gives this great illustration of those who by faith remain faithful to God. They were brothers. They were not only brothers to one another, but they were brothers to Jesus Christ. They were faithful. But then notice Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3. Here, therefore, we also, seeing that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily ensnare us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. I brought those passages out to demonstrate to us that as long as they was looking to Jesus, and as long as they kept in proper perspective that their Lord went through more than what they went through, then they would be okay. They were going through so much, and still we see in Hebrews 13 and verse number 1, here this particular chapter of exhortation and encouragement. He doesn't come down on them at all. As a matter of fact, he builds them up. Even through very challenging times, he says, let brotherly love continue. The more I thought about that, I thought about Hebrews chapter 10. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through verse number 38. There were some, even in the midst of persecution, they were having their possessions robbed from them. Yet their love for God did not wean. It did not wane. It did not go away. Now, the reason why I bring this particular point out is because depending on what's going on in our life depends on if our love for God will grow cold or not, or even for our brethren. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse starting at verse number 32 to verse number 38, notice what the Bible there has to say. Powerful thoughts for us to consider. But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you've obeyed the gospel, in other words, you endured a great struggle with suffering, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulation, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. Now notice this, friends. For you had compassion on me in my chains. Whoever this was, he was locked up. He was chained. If you will go through the New Testament, you will see that the Apostle Paul was chained. Here, this individual was chained, and the children of God here that the Hebrews writer was talking to, he says that they had compassion on him while he was even in his chains. and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession of yourselves in heaven. I thought about this. Here are Christians who were remaining faithful. At least we see some. And even though their goods were being plundered because of their identity with Christ and their identity with the Hebrews writer, being in chains, they remained steadfast. They remain with God. Their love did not grow cold. But notice what he goes on to say in verse 39. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Now, notice what he says here. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not as those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. This is encouraging. It should be. Why? Because here we see children of God, even though they were going through hard times, yet in Hebrews 13, verse number 1, let brotherly love continue. They were remaining strong. They were remaining steadfast. They were holding fast to God. Turn to Matthew 24. In Matthew 24 and verse number 12, Jesus had something to say about love growing cold. And if we're not careful, and depending on who we are around, our love can grow cold. Here, notice verse number 11 and 12. In the context of false teachers, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. I found it very interesting that the phrase grow cold is the idea of being blown cold, to blow with the mouth, like the idea of being hot at one time, your love, but then it begins to cool off. And the more I considered that, Jesus understands that false teachers and lawlessness that's abounding can even cause the child of God, the very elect, for their love for God and spiritual things and one another to diminish. And this is why the Word of God must be read daily. This is why we have to come together as brethren. This is why we got to love one another. Why? Because that love, if I can say it this way in a more metaphoric sense, it keeps us hot. It keeps us going. And so in Hebrews 13, turn there. And I challenge anyone, and I say this in a very positive way, if you see something different than what I've gathered here, just tell me. But I find it very interesting, Brian. I find it very interesting that he says, let brotherly love continue. And then he demonstrates how that brotherly love is to continue. I haven't considered that before until I studied this. He's actually telling them how brotherly love should continue. After adding on to what he said in the first 12 chapters, this is how brotherly love should continue. We consider verse 2 and 3. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwillingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners in their chains with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. I find it very interesting that brotherly love doesn't only receive, but it actively goes out. And so when you consider a prisoner usually doesn't show up at your house. Hey, I need a place to stay. But a stranger may. Someone in Christ may be in town visiting. Hey, you can stay at my house. I got an extra room. Come on by. But so he deals with both aspects as it relates to brotherly love continuing. That means that you receive, but also you go out. You go to the prisoners. Jesus would have something to say about that in Matthew chapter 24. When I was in prison, you came unto me. You visited me. But then notice verse number 4 through verse number 6. Here we see that brotherly love will continue. He brings up marriage. And he talks about the beauty and the honorableness of marriage. Marriage is honorable in all. If you will, put 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 6. And the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. There is only one form of the sexual relationship that God is sanctioning. That's saying that it's okay. And that is marriage. Marriage between who? Matthew chapter 19 verses 4 through 6. Between a husband and a wife. I found it very interesting that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 6 and following, when those who are involved in fornication, they're actually defrauding the brother. When brotherly love is continuing, a brother is not going to put a sister, or a sister is not going to put a brother in a position to go against God. Brotherly love says, I want what's best for you. Brotherly love says, you should want what's best for me. And so God sanctions only one sexual relationship, and that is marriage. And marriage that comes forth from God. And so notice what he goes on to say, friends. For when we consider these great ideas, look at verse number 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. You could put in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Be content with such things as you have. For he, now notice this, himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's a quote from Joshua 1 in verse number 5. So we may boldly say, now he's about to quote Psalm 118 verses 5 through 9. Now, brotherly love, this is what brotherly love promotes. It promotes the attitude that God is my helper. Whom shall I fear? I will not fear what can man do to me. You know what brotherly love should do as we come together, as we encourage one another, as we build up one another in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, literally praying by his authority that he has left us in his word. You know what it does for us, friends? It causes us to have that boldness and that strength to face anything and everything, whether in our own personal lives or before our enemies. Keep in mind the context of the book of Hebrews. Here you have family members who were still under Judaism, and they were trying to get after those who were Christians, getting them to leave Christianity and come back into Judaism. He says, no, the Lord is your helper. You don't have to be afraid of them. Brotherly love says, stay with Christ. When a person doesn't love the Lord, come back to Judaism. But here we understand that brotherly love says today, stay with Christ. Be faithful to God. But when someone is not faithful to God, Deuteronomy 13, you have those who say, come and let us go offer sacrifices unto other gods. I find it very interesting that brotherly love is laced through this chapter. Brotherly love also remembers. It remembers, like in verse number 3, the prisoners. It remembers the leadership in verse number 7. It remembers, friends. And so when we stop and we consider remembering the leadership, well, is the preacher or the elders? It's both. Why? Because he's talking about the teachers. He's talking about those who guard your soul, those who are entrusted to make sure that you are living according to the word and the will of God. Notice verse number 7. Let's prove this. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God. Sounds like an elder, sounds like a preacher, sounds like a teacher, whose faith follow. Now notice that. It's interesting that when we are following a man or following a group of men like elders, we want to make sure that their faith is following who they are. One is not following because of title. One is following because of conversation, lifestyle. Let brotherly love continue. And so when we stop and we consider those who are single, when you consider this, you want to make sure that you are following after a Christian. Why? Because their actions ought to demonstrate that they're Christ-like. And I was watching a television show yesterday, and it was horrific.
It was one of those shows where the husband got deranged and he killed his wife, strangled her and all of that, and she saw it coming and she didn't do anything about it. One older person said one time, when people show you who they are, believe them. That's why we can follow Christ. That's why we can follow our big brother, Jesus Christ, joint heirs, salvation. He showed us, therefore we believe. We believe, therefore we speak. And because we speak, we obey. This just made me think. This brotherhood is about us loving one another, remembering one another, encouraging one another, holding one another accountable. Why? Because we're trying to get somewhere. Number one, we're trying to stay in the person of Jesus Christ, John 15, 1 through 4. Number two, we're trying to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, I make you rule over many, Matthew 23. And so we consider these great words, their faith follow them. But then notice verse number 10 through verse number 16. I found this very interesting as relates to brotherhood. Let brotherly love continue. Yes, we allow brotherly love to continue when we understand that the altar of the Lord is the only altar that we go to. Keep in mind the background again. This is very important, because here the Hebrews writer is talking about the Jews and how they had a different altar, and that they were still using the sacrifices, Brother Royce, of animals and turtle doves in order to be justified before God. And the Hebrews writer said, no, 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 we have a different altar. This altar is Jesus Christ, the cross, if you will. And so it was a different brotherhood. So the brotherly love that must continue must be the brotherly love that came through Jesus Christ. Notice the text. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. Can you imagine telling someone you have no right to partake of the Lord's Supper? You have no right to partake of the goodness of Jesus Christ. You have no right to this eternal salvation. Why? Because you're saying that we're still under the law to Moses. You're saying we're still following that old system. You're saying that Christ is not the one that we ought to be following. Therefore, you have no right to eat. That's the text. So brotherly love says, no, no, no. We need to make sure that we hold fast to the stability. The stability is the altar. And notice what he says. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might, notice this, friends, sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, now, notice this text right here. He says, let's go out there where he is. The brotherhood is going to go out there where he is. We're going to stay with Christ, even though those in Judaism may be saying, no, this is security. This is where we need to be. No, we're of a different brotherhood. The brotherhood that we are of is the brotherhood of Jesus Christ, not of Moses. The brotherhood that we are of is of the sacrifice of Christ, not of blood of bulls and goats. The brotherhood that we are of is the brotherhood that is sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ and him only. And so he says, we run forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach, meaning his shame is our shame. What a great brotherhood we're part of. Are we ashamed sometimes of saying, that's my brother in Christ? And we're ashamed sometimes and say, that's my sister in Christ. Sometimes I hear Christians say, not here, but I've heard it before. Yeah, that's the person I go to church with. No, that's my brother. Colton, that's my brother. Donna, that's my sister. Why? Because of the blood of Christ. Randy, that's my brother. Why? The blood of Christ. Ventura, that's my brother. Charlton, that's my brother. Why? Because of the blood of Christ.
It's not something I go with, not somebody I go to church with. Oh, no, no, no. We are the church. And the reason why is because we be brethren. We go out there where he is. And so sometimes, even in the brotherhood, when they're ashamed of Christ, and they're out in public. I've said it before. I'll say it again. You got some that when they pray, they suddenly get a headache. One of those headache prayers. Y'all remember those headache prayers? You don't want to really demonstrate that you're praying. Don't be ashamed of our Lord and Master. This is a great brotherhood. And as I was thinking about this on my way to services this morning, I thought about the brotherhood is so beautiful that we ought to want to be held accountable by them. That's how beautiful the brotherhood is. Oh, I would hate for a brother or sister to know that I'm living in sin and won't say nothing to me. The brotherhood that we are part of and the type of brotherhood that we should have is that we want everyone to go outside the camp where Jesus is, bearing his reproach. Notice the text. Verse 15, therefore, by him, let us continually. It's interesting that in the brotherhood, love the brotherhood. And when we love the brotherhood, we worship correctly. Two aspects of worship that we find here. We find singing and we find giving in verse 15 and 16. Oh, yes, friends. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. You could put 1 Peter 2 and verse number 5 right there to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Friends, the sacrifice of praise is singing. The sacrifice of praise is giving thanks to God. But in verse 16, but do not forget to do good and to share. Here we see benevolent giving. We see almsgiving, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You know that it's a commandment for us to give every first day of the week. It's a commandment for us as brothers to share with one another. Command those who are rich, 1 Timothy chapter 6, to share. Do you know that in America we're rich? Riches doesn't mean you got a lot of zeros behind your... Riches mean that you have something to share. You have something to give. The beauty of the brotherhood. You know, that's what most people are looking for, Dustin, online. They're looking for brotherhood. They're looking for someone that's going to like them. They're looking for someone that they can address, someone that they can say, that's my friend. That's someone that pays attention to me. You know, that's what the church is about. Paying attention to one another, encouraging one another, blessing one another. But notice, obey those who have the rule over you. Be submissive, for they watch out for your soul. As those who must give an account, let them do so with joy and not with grief. I was talking to a good brother the other day, brought up an excellent point with this text. You know, we ought to be living our lives in a way. This brotherhood ought to be so close. We ought to be doing the will of God that we come in here as elders smiling. Yes. It's a great, great, great observation. With joy. One thing that a parent does not want is a child that doesn't bring them joy. We want joy. And so this brotherhood is so important that we do some things. What is that? Notice verse number 18. He says, pray for us. The brotherhood ought to be a place where we could pray for one another. He says, we're confident that we'll have a good conscience and in all things desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you sooner. Isn't it interesting that in verse number 3, he says, remember the prisoners. And then here this prisoner tells them, I'm hoping to be restored to you soon. Isn't that interesting? Friends, the brotherhood that we're in is a brotherhood that is together, that is close, that should have a desire to spend time with one another. And as we go into the new year, I want us to consider these thoughts. Your brotherhood is not just in this building. This is why we ought to marry a Christian. Why? Because I'm married to my brother in Christ. I'm married to my sister in Christ. And God wants me to make sure that I am having a relationship with my brethren. Evelyn, when her and I at home, we're talking. Not just about Bible, but about many things. Why? That's my sister. Brotherhood is in my house. Amen. Question, is brotherhood in your house? Brotherhood must be in our house. That's where brotherhood starts. And this is why, as parents, we would teach our children, y'all get along with one another. Don't fight with one another. Share with one another. Give each other hugs. Tell one another you love them. Why? Because brotherhood starts at home. If you wait for brotherhood to start at the church building, you're already behind the eight ball. You're too late. And so, brotherhood is so powerful because it gives us an avenue of confession and prayer, of encouragement, of faithfulness, encouragement to remain strong through bereavement. It gives us the blessing of unity. It helps us in acts of forgiveness. It positions us to have compassion, to laugh with one another, to be open with one another, to cry with one another, to even be mad at each other, but make it right. Isn't it interesting that the Bible teaches us to be ye angry but sin not, which means that it's okay for us to get upset with one another every now and then. You know, that's okay. Here's the problem. Staying upset. There was an old saying this old man said one time, if you and I are thinking alike, one of us ain't needed. It's true. That's one thing I see as it relates to the beauty of God's plan for eldership in marriage. You got different mindsets coming together. Brotherhood. We may not see eye to eye, but we're doing all that we can to get there. Brotherhood. In this brotherhood, we encourage one another to do many things, but I think one of the things that I really love the most, we encourage one another to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's why we marry one another as Christians. That's why we encourage one another. That's why we strengthen one another. Why? Because we are a brotherhood. That's why in order to get inside this brotherhood, you have to have your sins washed away. You have to have that conscience cleansed from dead works. You have to submit to the very gospel of God. You have to understand that in this brotherhood is safety and peace and long-suffering. And at times, it's turbulent. But there's no brotherhood like the brotherhood of Jesus Christ. There's not one like it. You won't find it. And I see why people go off the deep end establishing their own brotherhoods, whether it's biker gangs or you name it. They're always establishing something, trying to get a brotherhood. But there's no brotherhood like this one. You won't find it. Why? Because this brotherhood, it's going in one direction only, and that's upward. That's where this brotherhood is going. Let's have a word of prayer. I'll offer you the invitation. Our God and our Father in heaven, we're thankful for the day. We're thankful for your word. But Father, we're thankful for the brotherhood that we have, the love that we have here, the good works that you are allowing us to be involved with. The men that are striving to do that which is right. The sisters that are supporting. The children that are
following. Father, we're not perfect, and we know this. We get upset with one another. We don't see eye to eye at times. But Father, we're trying to do what is right before you. We're thankful that Jesus Christ has one brotherhood. It doesn't matter what you look like in order to get in. Pray to Father that we'll always strive to help people see the beauty of the brotherhood and brotherly love, and helping each other to go upward, to go where you are. Forgive us when we fall short. Help us to have good thoughts, dear Father. Sometimes we get in so much trouble because of the way we think. We ask that you forgive us for those things. Help us to be good leaders in our homes. Help us to promote brotherhood in the home, brotherly love, whether we have children or not at home. Help us to be brotherly. We love you, Father. And we're so thankful for your son, Jesus. Thankful for the church of Christ. It is in his name we pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God will do something amazing in your life. He'll forgive you for everything that you have done in your past and put you in a position where you'll get to know him even more and more as time goes on and as you study and realize who he is in comparison to everyone and anything else. Be baptized into Christ. Maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been brotherly. Or maybe you're a child of God and you have been brotherly. And just as he was encouraging the Hebrews writer, those in the book of Hebrews, to continue, you do so. But if you haven't, let's be brotherly. Let's add to the brotherly love as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.